God needed some people to have a clue on how it is going to be when the Holy Spirit has come. So in the Old Testament, we could find one person that God will take from the crowd and make the person to enjoy a dynamic of God's power, and every other person cannot, so that they will value when Jesus will now come and now give the authority for very many persons to operate on that dimension. So in the lineup of sicknesses in the land of Israel, one of the most craziest sickness of that time that you shouldn't even wish anybody to have was to have a sickness called leprosy. The sickness called leprosy was a very bad sickness that when you have, nobody can help you, including the church, because leprosy in itself was already a symbol that you are dirty. And you cannot be cleansed in the temple because anything dirty should not come to the temple. And the priests who were there were not even to heal leprosy. The priest's duty was to check whether you are completely healed so that they can send you back to the community. So if you are even healed somewhere, maybe by chance, or God just appeared to you in the bush, or a miracle happened to you and you are healed of leprosy, you have to first go and meet a priest to show yourself to the priest if you are healed completely. The leper in Syria was a very strong army. He was very powerful, and through him, the land of Syria used to have victory. The law was that this guy should be sent out of the community. But if we send him away, who will fight battle for us? So because of that, they managed him with his sickness, waiting for the day they will have another person who will be more powerful so that they can expel him. So the housemaid told the madam, forget the fact that you guys came and fought our hometown and defeated us. You defeated us because our people refused to obey their prophets. But there's a prophet there that can be able to heal your husband and make him to be a complete man. Can you imagine that in the whole world, only one person could heal? This guy was from another country, Syria, moving to Israel, going to a town called Samaria, just to be healed by a prophet, because there was no healing anywhere for him. So God just picked up the prophet and showed everybody a sign of what they will look like when Jesus has come. When Jesus came, Jesus picked some boys on the streets and put into them his spirit. He told them, this is now my command to you. I give you the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and he mentioned a sickness that was not possible to be healed. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. So now, what one person could do in the whole world was now what Jesus gave it to anybody that believes in him. Matthew 10 verse 8. For brothers, sisters, 2 Kings 5, 1 to 3. Matthew 10 verse 8. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's, don't tell somebody, if I heal you, how much we go pay? How much we go fit pay? You know, say you don't try to solve this problem. How much we don't spend for this sickness so far? Is it 300,000? If they say, I meet you, make you bring that 300,000, man, heal you sis. You know, for bring them. So now I want me to use your mouth talk. You know, say, we pass, I know go fit give you price. So how much we go fit pay? May I heal you? Have you heard something like that before? Have you heard something like that before? How much will you go fit pay, man, heal you? How much will you go fit pay? Just talk your mind. You say, 100,000. I go come on, leave you here. You know, say, you get many, many other people where I need pray for. I'll come on, leave you. You know how I take get this anointing? When you see things like that, the person did not get it from God. But because if it is from God, freely you have received, freely give. And it was specifico. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons free. Do all of that free of charge. Okay, let's get another scripture right now. 2 Kings 5 from verse 1 to 3. Now, Naaman, let's read together, 1, 2, go. Now, Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a man in valor, but he was a leper. With all this CV, captain of the army of the king of Assyria, great man with his master, an honorable man, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but a leper. Okay. And the Assyrian had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophets that is in Samaria, for he would cure him of his leprosy." Wow. I'll be preaching on Thank God for Jesus, part 3. In bracket, you write healing the lepers. Yeah, so I'll be preaching to you on healing the lepers or Thank God for Jesus, part 3. Be seated, everybody. In the Old Testament, very many persons in the Old Testament were taken by God into having a New Testament experience. I'll explain to you what I mean. What I mean is that in the whole of Samaria, there was one man who could heal the sick. Just one man who could heal the sick. So what God did for him was that God took him in the Old Testament and joining him spiritually into the New Testament. And he started using the stripes, because by his stripes we are what? We are healed. And he started using the stripes of Jesus in the New Testament, whereas he was still in the Old Testament, in the whole of Samaria. Just one person could heal the sick, until everybody knows that that man heals the sick. It's just like having just one person, because in the Old Testament, it was rugged in the Old Testament. I mean, everybody do not have the same gifts. Everybody don't have the same gifts. That's, they don't have the gifts in abundance. What I mean is that in the Old Testament, what happens in the Old Testament is that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man and uses the man for God's purpose. So one person in the whole village becomes an example of what a believer will look like when Jesus have died for them. So one person, his name was Elisha, and he is in Samaria. So he becomes a monument of, if you know how we will be when Jesus has died and the Holy Spirit has come upon us, you just need to see Elisha, because he had the Spirit of God. So since the world was preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can't come, because it has to come after Jesus had come, because the Holy Spirit is actually the Spirit of Christ. So Christ must first come in his body for you to learn Jesus physically, and so that when he leaves, you can take his spirit and put it into your physical body and act like he used to. So he needed to come first before the Holy Spirit comes. So unless he comes, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But God needed some people to have a clip or a clue on how it is going to be when the Holy Spirit has come, when Jesus had come. When he has come, how it's going to be. So since then, the Holy Spirit was not poured out. I want you to remember the promises that is in Joel. The promise in Joel is that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So as of then, God did not pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So what he does is that he will just scoop a little of his spirit in a spoon and give to somebody to just lick and manifest a portion of his glory. So he takes a portion of the Holy Spirit and start enjoying the Holy Spirit dimension that will come in the New Testament. So that when people look at him, they should be able to desire for the manifestation of the Son. When we say that the earnest creation awaits the manifestations of the Son, we are actually not talking about ourselves first. The first son that should manifest before other sons will manifest is Christ. So when people see what God is using Elijah to do, they don't need to worship Elijah, but they need to start praying and desiring that Jesus, that God had promised, will come, so that through him, people will now be like Elijah. That's why the Bible said that Elijah was a man like us. He's saying that Elijah was a man like us because he's telling you now that if after the Holy Spirit has come and you are not like Elijah, then you have to be blamed positively. You have to be blamed so much because Elijah was to be an example of what you should be when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So he said that Elijah was a man of us with like passion, and he was telling us, daring us to go for the extent of the anointing that Elijah had. So in the Old Testament, that was what we always saw. We could find one person that God will take from the crowd and make the person to enjoy a dynamic of God's power. And every other person cannot. So that they will value when Jesus will now come and now give the authority for very many persons to operate on that dimension. It was a wonderful thing. Do you understand up to that point? Can I proceed? It was a wonderful thing. So in the lineup of sicknesses in the land of Israel, one of the most craziest sickness of that time that you shouldn't even wish anybody to have was to have a sickness called leprosy. The sickness called leprosy was a very bad sickness. I don't know how to explain for you to understand how bad leprosy was. Leprosy was a very bad sickness that, you see, it was a sickness that when you have, nobody can help you, including the church. Because leprosy in itself was already a symbol that you are dirty. And you cannot be cleansed in the temple because anything dirty should not come to the temple. And the priests who were there, as at that time, the priests who were there, were not even to heal leprosy. The priest's duty was to check whether you are completely healed of leprosy, so that they can send you back to the community. So if you are even healed some way, maybe by chance, or God just appeared to you in the bush, or a miracle happened to you, and you are healed of leprosy, you have to first go and meet a priest to show yourself to the priest if you are healed completely, for the priest to take you in. So the priest cannot help you heal you of leprosy, but he can stay to judge you if you are healed or completely healed. So sometimes you go to a priest's house and the priest puts you on quarantine for you to check whether how many of your fingers you have. He said, I now have 3 fingers. 2 has been cut off by leprosy. And he says, okay, I'll put you on quarantine for 14 days and see if the 3 will still be around. If after 3 days they check 1 has fallen off, he said, you see, you are not fully healed though. He has cut off one of your fingers. So, and because of this, people who have leprosy were cast away from the community. Then, a country used to have a fence, and they put themselves. So when they discovered you have leprosy, they send you away from the environment. They send you down, away from the environment, throw you away. So when they throw you away, what you have to do now is to look for your fellow lepers and join lepers association and survive. And the moment they throw you out, I want you to pay attention to this. When you listen to this and understand it very well, you will understand and appreciate Jesus. When they throw you out, they share your wife. If you have 3 wives, they share it. They said, Udokun, take the first wife. And they just share your wife in front of you because they regard you as a dead person because there was no help for lepers. No help for lepers at all. But there was this leper in Syria. The leper in Syria was a very strong army, and he was very powerful and anointed in fighting of wars. So he was able to fight so many wars, and through him, the Bible said, through him, the land of Syria used to have victory. Through him, the land of Syria do have victory. Through him. Without him, the land of Syria will be defeated. So since the people know that through this man called Naaman, they continually have victory, what the king had to do is that the law was that this guy should be sent out of the community. Sent away from the community. But if we send him away, see wisdom. If we send him away, who will fight battle for us? Because then if they know that the country does not have mighty men who fight for them, they go in, invade them. And through this guy too, Naaman. He has fought with Israel and won. Fought with Israel, won. Pick people into captivity. Even the girl that was living in the man's house was taken from Israel. So the country could not deal with him and expel him because he was an army man who defends the country. Because they know if we send him out, he can go over to another country and they can manage him with his sickness and they can come upon us and they will defeat us. So because of that, they manage him for his sickness and with his sickness, waiting for the day they will have another person who will be more powerful so that they can expel him. They don't want to have any business with him. They don't love him for who he is. They just love him for what he provides. Waiting for the time that they will have somebody else that they can replace him so they can do away with him. His life was like that. He was being used. Others that don't have that kind of, that have that kind of problem and they are not of good benefits, they send them out. Most times our life is like that. People get close to you because of what they can get from you. If they have nothing that they can gain from you, they push you aside. So the housemaid told the madam, he said, madam, if you advise your husband to meet a prophet in my hometown, forget the fact that you guys came and fought our hometown and defeated us. There is something you did not defeat. Oh, you defeated us because our people refused to obey their prophets. But there's a prophet there that can be able to heal your husband and make him to be a complete man. Because each time they mention his CV on TV, they keep adding that he is a leper. And the Bible said the man was taken to Samaria and he was healed of leprosy by the priest. And how the priest even healed him of the leprosy was wonderful. The prophet didn't even come out to look for him. Can you imagine that in the whole world, only one person could heal? This guy was from another country, Syria, a country called Syria, moving to Jerusalem, moving to Israel, going to a town called Samaria in order to be healed. Are you paying attention to me? So moving from just to be healed by a prophet, because there was no healing anywhere for him. So God just picked up the prophet and showed everybody a sign of what they will look like when Jesus has come. So now, if you are now, if Jesus has come, I don't know if Jesus has really come. I don't know. Has Jesus come? Has he come? Has he died? Now, if he has come and he has died, and you are living below the standard of the prophet, then you are living below the mark of your calling. So now, the man said, the man went to the king. The man did not hear it very well. They said, there's a prophet in that town that can help you. So the man went to the king and said to the king, hello, king. You know, soldiers have arrogance. Hello, king. I'm told that you people can heal me of my leprosy. And you have not been able to. Why have you not healed me since? You people, I'm told. The king, you know, it's not long. About 6 months ago, the guys came and fought with them and defeated them. And they took so many people in captivity. Thank God they didn't carry the king. So the king was even afraid. When the king heard that Naaman is looking for you, the chief of the army of Ukraine, of Russia, is looking for you, the man said, what's it? And the man said, yes, they say you can heal me of my leprosy. And you see my fingers are not equal. And they say you can heal me. So quickly, come on, start healing me now. The king tore his clothes and shouted. So all of a sudden, people who were around there videoed it and put it online. And Elisha was just on Facebook that morning. And he saw breaking news. King tore his clothes because he couldn't heal leper. You know how journalists quiz words? Breaking news. He couldn't. King's disgrace because of not being able to heal Naaman. When he heard that, he sent a message to the man and said, tell the king not to cry. He should send the guy to me. Hi. See anointing. Tell the king that he shouldn't care. He should give his clothes to a tailor to go and fix it up. He shouldn't worry about that. He should send the guy. He should send that guy to me. Because when he tore his clothes and started shouting and was crying, Naaman went and sat down somewhere and said, when you are done crying, come and heal me. So they now said, Naaman, there's a man that is going to heal you. And the man of God discovered that Naaman's problem was pride. And he cannot get healing through pride. So he said, send him to come. And the guy came. When he came, he said, Pia, where is he? I want to see him. He said, okay, wait for him. And they met Elisha inside the house. And he said, is he around? He said, yes. He said, you have to come and see him. This is the chief protocol officer for the king of this thing. He says, and so, tell him he should go to this other stream. Is it the other big stream? No, not swimming pool. You shouldn't use my swimming pool. You should use to the other stream. See the other stream? You should just use that stream. You should bathe for 7 times. And when they told him, sir, please, you cannot see the prophet. But he told me to come here. He said, no, calm down. Just, you're always listening to the last command. You are a soldier. What you have to do is that he has given you a command. He said you should go to that stream and bath like children. Be jumping in like children. And make sure when you're jumping, they're counting. Because at the 7 times, you're going to be healed. The man was so angry. What kind of insult is that? I thought he was a prophet. Most of you, like, you are like that. When you come to a church, you design how God should bless you. You design how he should bless you. He should bless you through preaching. He shouldn't bless you through singing. He should bless you on the last Sunday. He shouldn't bless you on every other Sunday. It is the other Sunday that I will come to church. You design how he should bless you. So the man said, I thought he was a prophet. I wanted him to just lay hands on me and said, leprosy, go. Why is he telling me to do this? And he was with his arrogance. He started leaving. I'm not going. And he just started moving. And his servants told him, oh, God, hold on. You know, us even working with you, it is risky because I don't want to have cut fingers. So you see, it's risky to even work with you. And you also have to understand that we are only keeping you in this country because of your power. And the moment we have somebody else who is as powerful as you or more powerful than you, we'll bench you. See, let me tell you, they're even telling you you should jump into a river. What if they were telling you to go and carry stones or carry blocks or come and clear the church site or cut grass? Just humble yourself and go back. So he now moved back. He said, that's actually true. He moved back. When he moved back, he said, where is the stream? He said, it's somewhere there. He moved to the stream. What the man of God was saying was that, I want to tell you how powerful the man of God was. What Elisha was saying was that, I want to give him a condition for his healing. If he's able to do this, he will be healed. In other words, I will send the Holy Spirit to go and wait for him in the stream and count the many times he's jumping into the river. By the time he gets into the 7th time in the river, the Holy Spirit will heal him. So that was how powerful he was. So he was able to speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit obeys him and wait for the man in the stream. And so when we say the Holy Spirit troubles the water, that the Holy Spirit troubling the water was actually invented by Elijah, by Elisha. He was the one who started sending the Holy Spirit down to the water to heal somebody who is so. Sometimes people create inventions of miracles, and other people start, and God even understands, oh, that invention is so powerful. Let me give you another illustration in the Bible. A woman said in herself, he said, I will touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I know you may not have time for me, but I will touch just the hem of the garment of Jesus. And when I touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I believe in my heart that I will be healed. The Bible said when she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, she got healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen this kind of faith before in the whole land of Israel. And the Bible said after that day, people used to come to touch the hem of Jesus' garment to get healed. So the woman has just invented a way of getting healed. So the same thing was what Elisha did. The man moved to the place. You should know the story if you've been going to church before now. The man moved to the stream, got into the water for 7 times, and got healed. And since healing of lepers was like a very difficult thing, that it was so bad that if you are a leper, they are sending you out. They cannot even do cleansing for you. They cannot even help you in the temple. When Jesus came, Jesus picked some boys on the streets. They did not even know scripture much. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. James and John were fishermen. Philip did not really have a job. They just found him on the streets. He was a street guy. Other guys were just there like that. Jesus picked up these boys. When Jesus picked them up and put into them his spirit, he told them, this is now my command to you. I want you to move around. Go to Anakazo. When you have, go to Anakazo. I give you the power to heal the sick, raise the dead. And he mentioned a sickness that was not possible to be healed. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. So now, what one person could do in the whole world was now what Jesus gave it to anybody that believes in him. He says, if you believe in me, I give you power to heal the sick, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead, and
cast out demons. What a powerful thing. So now, when the Bible says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, what he is doing is that he is now bringing that very virtue of God, because what the people used to do, like what Elisha did, was that Elisha had the spirit of God. Spirit of God is that Elisha could be able to do what God could do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He could do what God could do, but as at then, the thing was not really rampant. Were you born when there was only one person in the whole village that had a phone? Were you born then? Only one person in the whole village had a phone. Were you there? Let me see your hand. Yeah. Have you traveled like from here to somewhere very, very far away for somebody to make a call to his father or to talk to his father before, because nobody around there had a phone? Yes, that's so. It's the same thing it was in those days. No, only one person traveling from another country to get healed of leprosy because the promise did not come. But thank God for Jesus. The moment Jesus came, he started removing his spirits and putting it into people and says, when you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers. What it means to clean lepers is we just lay hands on the leper. And you are not even afraid of contacting the leprosy. You just lay hands and said, you leper, in the name of Jesus, I declare you are cleansed in the name of Jesus. And the symptoms of leprosy stops. And everything that made the person to be a leper stopped. And the only way to do it is to believe in Jesus. Because Jesus becomes a New Testament. Because I don't know if we were still in the Old Testament and God wants to give one person the ability to heal lepers in the whole world. I don't think the lots will be casted on you. I don't think you'll be the one that is chosen to heal leprosy in the whole world. Maybe it could be somebody from China or somebody from somewhere, or even in Nigeria, they'll first consider the North first. And before they can consider the Yorubas, later on they consider the Igbos. Before even if somebody should come over, you shouldn't, before they come reach your side, Charlie, he will not be there. But when the Holy Spirit came, when Jesus came, what he did was that he gave power. He gave authority. Do you know what it means to cast out demons? What it means to cast out demons is that God just stepped you higher in spiritual hierarchy. Steps you higher in spiritual hierarchy above demons. So you can now command demons. You can tell demons where to go to, how to live, and how many minutes they have to live. He just lifted you up from your rank spiritually and take you above. Sometimes when I wanted the anointing and I was praying for anointing, I was looking for, God, how do I get the anointing of the Holy Spirit? How do I be able to do all these things? And I was now meeting some people who tell me so many mystical ways to get the anointing. They make it look so big that you have to do this, you have to do this. And will you be able to sacrifice enough? Will you be able to sacrifice enough? The sacrifice you will do, the sacrifice. They make it look like, but whenever I read the scriptures, I see that the only scripture, the only sacrifice God really wants from me, every other one is fine, but the only sacrifice that God really wants from me is for me to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable. And what else? Which is my true reasonable service. So if I have now become a tool for service, then God can use me as a tool for service to do his duty. So in the New Testament, God now opens it up. It opens up the opportunity for anybody who has believed him so much. Do you know what it means to believe in somebody? To believe in somebody, when you hear the word, whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a very deep word. It's not something that you just said, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in, it's deeper than that. It is that if I believe that this is a rope, if I believe that there's a rope here, that this is a rope, I can be able to hang a cloth and throw on it and go into the house and sleep. So believe always lead people into taking serious steps. If I believe that this is light, then I can be able to put my phone in it and expect it to be charging. And in fact, I should be surprised if I plug it and it's not charging. I should be surprised. Do you understand what I'm saying? One day I met my father in the Lord, and they were starting a church in a road in somewhere, and that road was not tarred. So I told him, this road is not tarred. When they tar this road, this place will be a very great place. And he said, yeah, before next year, they should tar this road. I command them to tar this road before next year. I said, okay, amen. So I visited him after 1 year, and the road was tarred. And I reminded him of the prophecy. I said, ah, you said they will tie this road before next year is over. And they have tied it. I'm so surprised. He said, no, you should have been surprised if they did not tie the road. You shouldn't be surprised that they have tied the road when I spoke. You should have been rather surprised that I spoke and they didn't tie the road. So when we believe so much in God, then we dare the belief. And one of the daring of the beliefs, before we dare about the beliefs of healing, they say, one of the daring of the belief is that if I believe Jesus so much that he's alive, that he died for me, then I have to live for him. That is the daring of the belief. Else, I'm just speaking with my mouth. I have not been able to believe in him. Very many people are just churchgoers, but they have not believed in God. They have not believed in him into such a way that I believe that you died for me, and I believe that I should live for you. Do you understand? Because if I believe somebody is looking at me, I should believe that. I should be very careful of the things I'm doing. How many of you have preached on camera before? You preached under a camera before. Or you have talked and you know, and somebody tells you this call is recorded. Even if you are a careful person and they say this call is recorded, you will be more careful than how careful that you have ever been. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you believe that Jesus, he has died, and that one day he's coming back to take you home, then you should also understand that he sees everything that you do. And if you understand that he sees everything that you do, you will be very, very careful of the things that you are doing because he sees you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he sees you. But the problem that we have is that we speak that we believe, but we do not really believe. Because if we have really believed, it will affect some of the actions we take. If I believe that this is a stand, a pulpit stand, then I can actually keep my gadget on it and believe that it's standing. And believe that the thing is holding it. Because I have believed. So when you have believed so much in Jesus and start walking towards that belief, he starts believing so much in you and giving you power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. There was one man, I was told a story about him. Somebody told me, he said they used to live in the same compound. A very great man of God now. He said that he used to live in the same compound and something. That he knows very many things about the man before, while the man was growing up and became a pastor. That when the man was a young man growing up to become a pastor, that one day that man was just going out on evangelism. And as the man was going out on evangelism, he was just moving around. And when he was going out on evangelism, he saw a man who had so much, like something like chicken pox or something, but they were much. I don't know, have you seen monkey pox before? Big ones, and they were big, and the things surrounded the man. And the man went to go and preach in that house. And when he went to go and preach, and that man was sitting down somewhere, you understand? When he went to preach for the man, and the man said to him, and he told the man, oh, sorry, sir, I didn't know you were sick. Sorry. He said, the man said, yes, I'm sick. Oh, sorry. Please, can I pray for you? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? And the man said, yes. He said, okay, let me pray for you. He laid hands on the man and said, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you are healed. And started praying for the man to be healed and said, in the name of Jesus, amen. And closed and opened his eyes. Instantly, when he opens his eyes, somebody's story about the pastor in New York. Instantly, when he opens his eyes, all the things that were swelling in his body dried up. And the man was shocked. And the man started screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And this guy ran. And you know, since the man was sick, so many people were around. When they started hearing the man scream and shouting, they rushed. And the guy was running. They rushed, held the guy, lifted him up, and brought him and said, what is the matter? Has he stole from you? The man said, no. He hasn't stole from me. He just prayed for me. And I am completely healed. The people who lifted up the guy put him down slowly. So even the guy who was praying for the guy's healing didn't believe enough. He did not believe enough. You see, there are very many. You would have raised the dead now. You would have healed so many sickness now. But you don't believe enough that you can do that. And let me shock you. This happened before they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked them to go and clean lepers, raise the dead, to heal the sick before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus said was that, as far as I have come and you have believed in me, you have entered into a new testament. So move around. And now what you now need is the morale to invoke the promises of God as far as you are in alignment with him. In alignment with him. Ability to just lay hands and say, in the name of Jesus. See, let me tell you something. I think I've shared it with my pastors many times. I said, if I lay hands on somebody and I tell the person, receive healing now, and the person doesn't get healed, I don't lose much. So I can't come and think, oh, what if I lay hands and the person doesn't receive healing. People will laugh at me. And so if they laugh at me, will they laugh at me for 2 years? They just laugh at me small, and after that they forget about it. So it's not. And another thing that really made me to start daring those kind of wonderful faith was that I started thinking, if I lay hands on the sick and the person recovers, then it's going to be a powerful plus. So I told God, it is better that I lay hands on somebody and the person recovers. It is better I lay hands. If I lay hands on somebody and the person recovers, it is better. Okay, if I lay hands on somebody and it was somebody that was to recover when I lay hands and he recovers, it is better than me not laying hands and he would have recovered if I had laid hands. Do you understand what I mean? So I had to tell God, God, let me lay hands in case you wanted to raise this person through my hands. So if I lay hands and it doesn't happen, I just give God the glory because God told me something. So God told me, do you really have, what do you think? Why are you afraid of laying hands on people when I started the journey newly? And I told God, because of my reputation. God says, so you have so much reputation like that? I said, yes, so. And God told me, how many people really know you? I said, they know me in that IBB road. This is IBB road. They know me small. They know me small in Ipa road. God says, is that all? I said, yes. And God laughed at me. And said, God said to me, you and me, who has greater reputation? I said, you. When you are healing somebody, whose name do you mention? Is it your name or my name? I said, it's your name. He says, if you are mentioning my name, then do it with all amount of strength. Don't worry about your reputation. It's my reputation that is at stake. When you dare the reputations of God, he will walk to defend his reputation. But it has to be when you have had connection with him. Because you can't carry a phone and put on your ears and talk like you are talking to somebody and the phone is not connecting. You will be making mockery of yourself. So when Jesus came, he gave us the opportunity to lean on him, close to him, so that we can do the things that he used to do. So raising of the dead, healing of the sick is not for somebody when you have now grown up in spirituality until all your hair has fallen off and you have bald hair here. That's when you can heal the sick. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are things that you should enter into. As far as the Bible says that these gifts are given to people that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Let's be upstanding. So from the arrival of Jesus, what you have to do is that you have to start using the name. See, very many things you can use in healing the sick. Let me tell you, very many things you can use in healing the sick. I can give you about 5 things you can use in healing the sick. Can I give you right now? Number one thing you can use in healing the sick is the name of Jesus. In my name, you can cast out demons. Jesus says, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. That's one tool you can use in healing the sick. Should I give you another one? 2, you can use faith in healing the sick. You can use faith. If you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be moved. Faith. 3, you can use in healing the sick is the stripes of Jesus. You just lay hands on the sick and say, Jesus, you said by your stripes, we are healed. I declare that this person is healed by your stripes. Have I given you up to 3 ways you can heal the sick? 4 ways you can heal the sick is to cast out the demon. You lay hands on someone and say, you demon, any demon behind this sickness, I command you to get out. And the demon gets out instantly. 5th way of healing the sick is to introduce the presence of God. You lay hands on someone and say, receive the presence of God now. The moment the presence of God comes, the sickness leaves. 5 ways. So if you don't heal the sick, Jesus will be surprised. Because the ways are too many. Jesus will be surprised. When there was no stripes of Jesus, people used to use other things to heal the sick. They could use other things to heal the sick. There was no name of Jesus. There was no this thing. They just used faith. Do you know faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. So they used to use faith to heal the sick when Jesus was not around. Do you know what it means to use faith to heal the sick? Faith is that substance of things. Substance. This is the substance I'm holding on to. The substance of things not seen. That's, I've not yet seen Jesus. He hasn't come yet. He has not been born yet. So he is the substance of things I'm hoping for, even though I've not seen any evidence. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am hoping that one day Jesus will come and through his stripes we will heal the sick, even though there's no evidence, no woman is pregnant, no virgin is pregnant. So they use the very thought of that one day Jesus will come and he will give us power. And they tell God, God, if one day you will come and you will give us power to heal the sick, then there is nothing like time in your dispensation. In your world, there's nothing like time. It is only in our world that there is time. So if you will come one day, then you are already there. Then heal it now. And that's God's faith. They used it and just healed the sick. Bow your heads, everybody. So God is so surprised that your mother is sick and your first and last option is doctor. What's the doctor saying? It is because you have failed to wake up to the reality of who you are. You have not even wake up to the reality of who you are. Or sometimes you have not even woken up to who God has called you to be. You have not even woken up to the call of God, the call to salvation. You have not responded to the call to salvation. You have not believed in Christ yet. You are just one leg as a child of God, the other leg, you are still living the way you like. God told me one day, he said, they have buried very many persons that shouldn't have been buried. I said, how? He said, some of them were just dying, waiting for somebody to pray and bring them up to life. And some people who were very, very lazy to pray, just carry the person to a mortuary. God told me that there are very many persons who are sick, who shouldn't be sick. Imagine when God decides to make somebody to fall a little sick so that you can pray for the person to be healed, for him to be glorified, and you refuse to pray for the person to be healed, for him to be glorified, and the person remains sick. Because the real thing was for you to heal the person, for him to be glorified, and for souls to be added, and you fail, and the person is sick for no just cause. Because people who should take up responsibilities are not. The same thing with visions. Seeing of visions. So many things happen to us by accident. You didn't even know that your mother was going to have an accident, but she just had an accident. And you couldn't see. The things were shown all over in the realm of the spirit, but you didn't have enough spiritual eyes to see it because you are too far away from God. It was shown everywhere. Nothing is hidden in the world of the spirit. It was shown everywhere. It was advertised. This accident was advertised. Some people can even see it up to 3-4 times. You could not see it because your spiritual eyes is dim. I'm talking to you now, so be praying. Your spiritual eyes is so dim. The mind of your spirit is so dim, occupied with so many other things. Occupied with porn, occupied with immorality, thinking of sex, occupying so much of your mind that your mind cannot connect God. And because you can't connect God, you live below his standard. And the devil starts making jest of you. It makes jest of your Christianity. Because you have not woken up. You've not woken up. Are you not surprised that by now they are still praising you? They still praise you. They still intimidate you. You run like a child in a dream. Yeah, because you've not woken up into who God has called you to be. Is it not shameful that up till now you are still running away from your village? You can't go there so that they will not kill you. You are living at the mercy of witches and wizards who are not educated, yet you are on first class. Shame to your kind of Christianity. You've not woken up. While you're praying everywhere you are, the Holy Spirit is coming to leap you, give you a leap. He's coming to give you a leap in your spirit. Get connected right now. I just want to pray for you for just 5 minutes. Just get connected. Don't lose these minutes for anything. The Holy Spirit is here to give you a leap in your spirits, a push. There are some problems that you are going through, and they are self-afflicted problems. You inflicted yourself with those problems. You shouldn't have had them in the first place if you just had the presence of God. You have successfully chased out the presence of God from your life with your new things, your new friends, your new lifestyle, the new seed that you have gotten into your life. You have successfully chased out the presence of God in your life, and your life is now open for the devil to destroy. And Jesus is saying, if you allow me to be born in your hearts, then I'll take you into the New Testament. Take you to the New Testament. Imagine a sickness like leprosy. So bad. I want you to desire for the glory of God in your life. Glory of God in your life. Glory of God. Even if you don't know anything to pray for, just keep praying. Lord, I need your glory in my life. I need your glory in my life. I need your glory in my life. What will I become without your glory? I need your glory in my life. I need to dwell under the influence of your spirit. Let me not move far away that you can't talk to me, you can't reach me. Let my attitude not move me far away to where you cannot reach me, to where you cannot talk to me. I need your anointing in my life. I need your glory in my life. Your glory, your glory.
There is a race that I must run, and there is a victory to be won. soul, give me power. Every hour, give me truth.
Come walk with me. The road is rough and narrow. Come walk with me. For I cannot walk alone. The road is and there are many dangers. Come walk. Lift up your hands, everybody. Lord, we need you more than ever before. We need you in our lives. We need you more. We need you to greatly influence our thoughts. We need you to motivate us into your calling upon our lives. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, whole Lord, in our lives. Lord, we need you. We need you to resurrect everything that has been dead in our lives, which has stopped us from connecting to your spirit. We need you to help us out, Lord. We need you to help us. Are your hands lifted up? We need you to revive us. Take us to that point of understanding that you have always designed for us. Take us to that point and understanding that you have always kept for us. Make us to grow deeper and greater in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Close your eyes, everybody, as your eyes are still closed. As your eyes are still closed, I want to give some people opportunity to believe in Jesus right now. I want to give some people opportunity to believe in Jesus. So I said, believing in Jesus will take you into making some new decisions of your heart. And that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want your hand lifted up above your head. And I'm praying for you from now. I'm praying for you from here. If your hands are lifted above your head and you say, Jesus, I want to believe in you. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want your hand lifted up. I've seen hands lifted up. God bless you. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Make me your child. Lord Jesus, I want to be devoted to you. I want to be serious in following you. Lead me, Lord, in the path of righteousness. Help me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord, from the plans of the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Put your hands down. Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands, everybody.